You know this voice all too well, Alec. Good morning. Welcome back. Good to see you. Now I get to see you in person.
Yeah.
Always watched it on this interview that was with you and with Sinclair on Facebook Live. And now I get to be interviewing you. How have you been this lately?
Yeah, it's good. I'm recovering. I had flu for about almost 3 weeks. So, yeah, not the greatest, but back in action, back training.
Good. That's what you need to be doing. We've been talking about last week, just to recap what was discussed between you and Sinclair, was the two psychological ways that you can improve your mental state. And here you mention that you need to eat correctly, as it has a direct benefit to lifting your mood and your emotions, as well as, of course, exercise has a direct effect on your mental moods and emotions.
Yes. So, we normally just draw the correlation between exercise and the improvement to your physical fitness and your strength. But knowing that it has such a positive benefit on your mind, on your mood and your emotions, and that it's a physiological reality. So if you're in a place where you're feeling down and depressed or you're anxious, then the best thing you can possibly do is take action by working on your exercise and nutrition, which will most certainly have a biological impact on what goes on in your brain and the production of dopamine and serotonin, which are your feel-happy drugs and produced naturally by your body, and that will lift you and lift your spirits and help you to make a success of your day and to get the better of your emotional state and your feel less anxious and depressed.
And like you talk about, we need to go into a more physiological, we need to be more exercising, moving towards that. But what if you're not into exercising and you are in a state of perhaps mental health issues or depression or whatever it may be, and most people think now you have to go from nothing to a run? What is your suggestions?
No, the main thing that we need to do is we need to realize that consistency is key. So, and the easiest way to be consistent in starting, whether it's on nutrition or on exercise, is to take really small incremental steps that you can easily achieve. So before you try and run out the door and do a 10K run, you can start walking. And even if you walk for half an hour, everybody can manage that. So, you know, you need to start incrementally and just get physically active. And then you can build on that and start pushing yourself beyond where you are comfortable, so that you can actually grow and develop. And we need to work on both our cardiovascular fitness as well as on our strength. And they often get confused, or you have a preference one over the other. But both are essential. So when you're working on your cardiovascular fitness, you're trying to improve your VO2 max. That's a very key indicator of fitness. Strength is a little bit more subjective to measure. But you need to be in a strong physical state in order to be able to combat sarcopenia and getting frail as you age. And the stats around people falling and injuring themselves as they age, and that being the beginning of their demise, is unbelievable. And people don't realize that regardless of their age, they can start training, and they can definitely make an improvement to gaining muscle mass and becoming less fragile.
That's encouraging to know that there's no certain age by that you need to get exercising and get active and make sure that you are doing that regular exercise, be it walking on a daily basis or lifting weights every other day and things like that. But clear intentions lead to elevated emotions, and that impacts your thoughts and has a direct impact on your behavior as well. Let's talk around that.
Yeah, so that brings us to knowing your purpose. And understanding who you are in Christ, and that you are here for a reason. As soon as you know that and you understand that, then it gives you the motivation to stick with a decent nutrition plan and an exercise plan, because you realize that there is a gain to be had, and that you are here for a purpose. If you don't have that, then it's very difficult to stick with it. And you know, we're told to stick at, or to lift our cross on a daily basis and to fight the fight on a daily basis. What do you think you're fighting? You're fighting against, you know, apathy and laziness and gluttony. And so you need to learn and understand how those work in your life, and then take those small incremental steps at making a change to your diet. It's not that difficult to cut down or cut out sugar in your life. Stop drinking it. You know, just some small things like that will help you progress in the right direction. And it's about moving the average. So if you on average are moving in the right direction, then over time you will certainly see the benefits in your life.
Like you mentioned about sugar being a prime example of where you can start, that's where I've started. And I've noticed if I just put that half a spoon more of sugar in my tea or whatever it may be, I don't want to drink that tea anymore. I used to go from two sugars. Yeah. Now I'm down to almost half, which is for me quite impressive. So well, I agree done. With you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I agree with you. There's little things that you need to do. It's not always those big things that you need to be making those changes, making these big cuts. And then basically, I think also going with your preference, are you meat eaters and things like that? Some people, they need to eat meat. Other people don't. And it's understanding that what works for you, what makes you feel sluggish, what doesn't.
Yes.
I think that's where you can naturally see in your diet what you need to be cutting out.
Yes. So in general, as people age, they reduce their protein intake, and that is extremely detrimental to the building block for building muscle and maintaining muscle mass. So especially if you are on a vegetarian or vegan diet, it is essential that you put a lot of effort into making sure that you get enough protein in. So, you know, from my side, I'm more of a balanced approach, low carb and specifically your refined carbohydrates, which is essentially easily converted into sugars. So again, we're on a war path against the overconsumption of sugar, and people still don't realize the impact that it has on storing your fat, because every time you need to digest food, you're producing insulin, and insulin's driver is there to store energy for later use. So if your liver is full, which is the primary store of energy, then it will move on to your muscles and after that to fat. So if you don't have much muscle mass and your liver is full, then every time you are eating, you are forcing your body to store that as fat. And we need to realize that our nutrition determines how we take in and ingest our energy needs for our body, and exercise is how we expend it, but you can't exercise yourself thin. you need to eat right. So you're exercising both cardio and strength. The main purpose of that is to change your fat to muscle ratio. So you're wanting to increase your muscle mass and decrease the percentage of body fat. And those are the keys to it, is your nutrition. So last week we were hammering on the fact that it upregulates your mood and your emotions. And now we're starting to say, okay, the other fundamental benefits of exercise are to build muscle mass, and on nutrition is to fuel the machine. And if you think about it that way, you know, you don't put diesel in a petrol car, and you don't try and run a truck with a tiny little motorbike engine. So, and, you know, you need to understand your purpose, and then you need to fuel for purpose and train for purpose.
Alec, there's one thing I'm thinking over here is it also comes down to discipline and consistency. And by doing that, you change your habits.
Yes.
How do we change those habits that work for us?
Well, you need to realize that there's a continuum. So being well or not being sick doesn't mean that you are healthy and strong. So it's a progressive line that you can move on. So we all are somewhere on this journey, and that's why it's so important that you are prepared to experiment personally. So you learn, and then you apply it to yourself, and then you progress. And the risk of to consistency is boredom. So we need to make sure that we don't get bored. And in order to do that, you need to push the boundaries a little bit on an ongoing basis. So we talk about setting goals that are easily achievable, but that once you've achieved them, you need to move on. So you need to either start lifting slightly heavier weights or trying to run faster. So you've always got this progressive growth path that you're on. We need to have a growth mindset, and we need to be pursuing that sort of betterment, personal mastery, and trying to push the limits to avoid boredom. But if you are inclined to try and do too much too soon, the chances of it being sustainable and for you to be consistent is very remote. You need a huge amount of discipline and motivation. So you want to limit the amount of discipline and motivation it takes by making it easy, but you also need to avoid boredom. So you need to be able to push. So that's the sweet spot, they reckon, is about 3 or 4% outside of your comfort zone. So you need to, while we're on that, the ladies are always up in arms about strength training and bulking up and looking butch or too strong. And I just want to read a quick verse there for us. In Proverbs 31:17, she girds herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong and firm. So that is some pretty decent advice. Straight out the Bible for all the ladies out there.
Alec, I remember about probably a decade ago, Joyce Meyer actually saying that the Lord told her that in order for her to be able to stay in ministry and fulfill her purpose in ministry, she needed to exercise and get fit to be on the stage as well. So I would assume that this was probably a scripture that she held onto. She's not big into exercise. She used to say she used to moan every day when her fitness trainer came to give her a weight training or force her to do walking, whatever it was. But we see now a decade on, it's paid off for her.
Yeah, we need to remember that we're spiritual beings and we're housed in a temporal earthly body. And it works. It's our home, and we are instructed to care for it, to nurture it, and to do everything we can to strengthen it and make sure that it works optimally. Why? The why behind that is so that you can be useful and of service to others. So if you can't love yourself and if you can't care for yourself, then you are not in a position to be able to love and care for others. And your purpose is to actually love, serve, and care for others in whatever your specific calling is. And you can't do that if you are unhealthy. So we really do need to take care of the vessel that we are housed in. And you can, there are some interesting stats, just for interest's sake. Somebody that dies at the age of 100 and somebody that dies sort of in their 70s, the last 2 years of their lives leading up to their death is a third less expensive for the 100 to live from a 98 to 100. In other words, somebody that is healthy and well, as opposed to somebody that dies younger, and they end up with a much higher cost of living because they are unhealthy. So you live longer, you live healthier, and then when you do go downhill, it happens very quickly, rapidly, and then you're out of here. It's definitely, definitely very beneficial to look after your health.
Definitely, I agree with you. Alec, it's so great to have you here today. If you are interested in this conversation, you want to find out more, I encourage you to go to Almighty Warrior ME and you can go get some more information over there.